Nearly 3 years ago, the government decided to take a look at four of Britain's most historic cities to find out more about what needed to be done to preserve them and what it would cost. But today, the second of these reports is published. It concerns Bath. Peter Brown's been finding out something about it.
It's a report that's been prepared by Professor Colin Buchanan and his partners, who've done a good deal to diagnose Bath's civic ailments in the past few years. And their findings are just about what you would expect. Bath, they say in effect, is a still beautiful woman beginning to show signs of her age. Some of those buildings whose shape, colour and proportions look so marvellous on the kind of sunny days we've had recently are really in need of help. Some of the basements are damp. Roofs and gutters tend to be in poor condition. The arrangement of the rooms is often ill-adapted to mid-20th century living. There's a lot of unused space in them. The prospect is of them becoming even less well-used in future and of the decay spreading. That old enemy of the old cities, the car, is making the problem worse. It's a diagnosis that applies to the centre of a lot of big towns in most of Europe and North America. And what does the professor want done about it in Bath? Well, his view is that only Bath can save Bath, but that the job is much too important and will be much too expensive to carry out for us to expect Bath to carry the burden alone. In the words of the report, real progress towards conservation will only be achieved when a single organisation assumes responsibility for the task. And Bath City Council, rather than any national conservation body, is best equipped to deal with the task.
Well, Peter, that's fine as far as it goes. No one's likely to quarrel with it. But doesn't it beg a lot of questions?
Yeah, I think that will be widely said. Some of the points have been made before by Bath Corporation itself, Professor Buchanan in his 1965 report on planning and transport, by local Liberals in a report that they put out a year or so ago. But this new report does carry and must carry a lot of official weight. It helps to set out the problem and its causes with authority. For instance, it makes it clear that the centre of Bath was built as a place for people to live in and that without people it's going to decay. So there's a good deal of emphasis in this report on the need to make the centre of Bath a place where people live. There's a suggestion that one way of doing this is to house students in some of the historic buildings. There are other suggestions for dealing with a traffic problem. In Bath it's even worse than in most cities because the 18th century reckoned without the motor car, and the report goes into some detail about the areas of highest importance for preservation, puts the other parts of Bath into descending orders of value.
But it's easy to feel cynical and say this is just another report. What's likely to happen to this one?
Well, first of all, the local authority have got to look at it, then the ministry who commissioned it have got to look at it. Of course, without money, very little can be done, and it's hard to see the preservation of Bath getting any very high priority in the present economic situation. The report doesn't speak of a crisis. It'll be interesting to see what emerges from the other report in this series in which we have an interest in the South and West, Chichester. The other two, York, is already out, and Chester is also still to come.
It is acknowledged to be the finest example of a planned Georgian city in existence. The elegance and grace of Georgian architecture, the terraces which surround one on the hillsides as one stands in the centre of Bath, really make Bath a lovely city.
I think any of us who work in this kind of field at all realise that after about a certain number of years, say in this last case 10 years, you want to change. It comes in all sorts of ways. Certain things get exhausted. And this is the change has been towards a much more consideration of Bath altogether. Not only Bath, you know, in its beautiful buildings, all the rest of it, but Bath as a regional centre for a vast amount of activity, and nobody knows what's going on, from a university to whatever. It's changing to a degree which I find, personally, who live terribly close, enormously exciting.
This year we're probably doing more than we ever have done before. We have two major young orchestras, one leading schools orchestra in the country and one training orchestra, involving probably 300, 400 young people actually taking part in the festival. We deal quite a lot with schools. We do as much as we can with schools in the town to help them. But I think the average age of our audiences is going to drop considerably this year too. probably Mr. Menuhin and the sort of music that he made, of mainly of the 18th century and the 18th century atmosphere of the city, has tended to make the average age of our audience fairly high, because it was to the possibly over 40s or over 50s mainly that this sort of music and this sort of city appealed to. I think this is changing all round now. It's changing as far as we're concerned, and it's also changing, I think, as far as the city is concerned. When Sir Michael Tippett and Colin Davis and Jack Phipps were appointed as the artistic directors to succeed Mr. Menuhin, one of the first things that we did was call a meeting of the young people of the town from various organisations, from the student bodies, from the colleges as well as the university, and we told them that we would like them to come and tell our three new artistic directors what they, the young people, would like to see in the festival, because we've been criticised for many years for not having anything for young people. And they came and they sat down, and a very lively discussion took place for over an hour. And the two main things that they wanted to see in the festival, or three main things really, were much more contemporary music, films, and folk and blues, all of which we have succeeded in involving for them this year, and all of which, it seems, they are supporting well.
Initially, I think they started off rather badly, because the university more or less grabbed land from the city, as it were, and there was a fairly hostile reaction to this, and as well, I think that people didn't like the prospect of, as someone wrote to the local paper, having the great unwashed descend on the city. But we were very lucky in that we had a favourable press when we came. The editor of the paper was pro-student, and this made a great deal of difference to us. Our contacts with him were very good, and with a circulation of something like 40,000, reaching a lot of people, gradually this hostility went, and as people came to realise that the students in Bath weren't particularly revolutionary or militant or long-haired or unwashed, but just quite ordinary people, I think the townspeople came to accept them much more.
I think really the main interest lies in the future, because with the university being here and with a number of very young energetic people in places like the education department within the city council, these are the people who will push ahead with schemes, and given about 10 years time and given the development, in fact, or the realisation of Buchanan's plans for Bath, I think you'll see a very, very changed city. Coming in on the train, you come into Bath and you think, it's great to be back in Bath again. And just wandering around the city, especially during summer, there's a lot to be seen. I think you're very conscious that you're appreciating Bath as you go around it, which is what makes it unique from any other city. We were in a small city that you could identify with, and since it is architecturally unique, this helps identification again.
Well, let's face it, I think Bath perhaps is living off the past. It's also living on the past. But one of Bath's great attractions is its history and its wealth of historical associations. And people today are increasingly interested in all things historical. This is reflected perhaps by the enormous increase in the number of visitors to the Roman baths, which have doubled really over the last 7 or 8 years.
I believe that Bath is a European city in its own right, and that it should be regarded as such by the people in the city and by people from outside it. It, unfortunately, I think, gets slightly mesmerised by its own advertising slogan of the Queen City of the West, and fails to realise that it has here, within the city boundaries, a fantastic heritage of Roman and Georgian architecture, which certainly in this country is pretty well unequalled.
I don't think relations are bad, I just think they don't exist. Apart from through their lodgings, if they have a landlady.
Monday night you'll find all the teeny boppers grouped round the pavilion for the pop groups, because you get all the big name groups come down here, so if you want to go and see that sort of thing, it's okay for that. But once again,
Pedestrians can shop in comfort, leave their cars on the outside, walk in around the shops. I think that'll be the best plan.
I personally am one of those who are going to fight it, because I am a great lover of contemporary architecture, of good contemporary architecture, although of course it's a matter of personal taste as to what's good and what isn't quite often. I hope it will change, because otherwise, if Bath goes on forever building itself pseudo-Georgian facades with mock Bath stone, what will end up in not many years' time will be something which isn't worth having, really. But if you sensibly preserve what is good and build good contemporary stuff alongside it, or, so that the two can be compatible, you're bound to end up with something that's worthwhile.
Oh, I don't think the festival gives us any extra trade. Not me, anyway. Although it's difficult to tell, you see, it's the height of the tourist season.
The Festival Society is a registered charity, and it's highly non-profit making. Although we have a much better record of making our budget balance than many festivals have, we only have a very small deficit that we've accumulated since 1948, which isn't bad going at all, really, because the arts are so expensive anyway. I think overall someone is bound to benefit, because I can't see that something like 20,000 people can buy tickets for various festival events, just come into the town, go to that event and go again. Lots of them are staying in hotels, lots of them are going into shops, lots of them are eating in restaurants. The difficult point, of course, is to prove that they wouldn't be coming anyway, because Bath is, of course, a tourist centre.
All different charities. This time it was the Star and Garter Home at Richmond for disabled servicemen. Then frequently I give them for the lifeboats or the guide dogs for the blind. Those are my favourite ones now. Well, they're by invitation. Nobody has to give anything if they don't want to. But we put a lot of the notes we've already received on the plate to sort of tempt them, you see. They don't do so badly. Then the chosen few are asked to stay on to have wine and sandwiches after. It has to be the chosen few, because there'd be too many otherwise, you see. Of course, in all these things, you've got to cater for all tastes. I don't have pop music there. I can't do that. But everybody's got different ideas. Some people love singing and others don't like it, and so it goes on. You can't please everybody, can you? What are the young people going to do here? That's the point, you see. I mean, what is the scope here?
I would like Bath to be a sincere reflection of what my own interests are, and they are very wide. Thus they range all the way from the most concrete to the most abstract subjects, and thus it is difficult to say that the Bath Festival has a particular or a narrow profile. It is one that may at any moment embark on the most outlandish and unexpected adventure, provided it appeals to me and is not likely to render the sponsors bankrupt.
The pedestrians can shop in comfort, leave their cars on the outside, and walk in around the shops. I think that'll be the best plan. Oh, I don't think the festival gives us any extra trade. Not me, anyway. Although it's difficult to tell, you see, it's the height of the tourist season.